12. The special courier saluted Willis Graham and said, "This came in marked Code 1 for you to read immediately, if you will, with all respect, Council Chairman." Grunting, Willis Graham opened the envelope. Typewritten on a single sheet of ordinary 16-weight paper ran one sentence. "Our agent at the 16th Ave printing plant reports a second call from Pervoni, and that he has been successful." "My mother's broken back," Graham said to himself. "Successful." He glanced up at the courier and said, "Bring me some straight methamphetamine hydrochloride. I'll take it orally in a capsule. Make sure it's a capsule." A little surprised, the courier saluted again and said, "Yes, Council Chairman." He left the bedroom office, and Graham found himself alone. "I'll kill myself," he said to himself. Depression filled him, bursting him until he sagged like a popped balloon. "Even before Corden is dead," he thought. "Well, let's get Corden." He pressed a button on his intercom. "Send in a commissioned ossifer. Anyone. It doesn't matter."
"Yes, sir."
"Have him bring his sidearm with him." 5 minutes later, a nattily dressed major entered the room, snapped a polished and professional salute.
"Yes, Council Chairman."
"I want you to go to Eric Corden's jail cell at the Long Beach facilities," Graham said. "And I want you personally, with your own gun, the gun I see at your belt there, to shoot Corden until he is dead." He held out a slip of paper. "This gives you my authorization."
"Are you sure?" the ossifer began.
"I am sure," Graham said.
"I mean, sir, are you sure?"
"If you won't, I'll go myself," Graham said. "Go."
He made a curt, abrupt gesture toward the main doors of his office. The major departed. No TV coverage, Graham said to himself. No audience. Just two men in a cell. Well, Pervoni has forced me to do it. I can't have both of them around at the same time. It's really, in a sense, Pervoni who is killing Corden. I wonder what kind of life forms they are, he asked himself, that Pervoni found. The bastard, he said to himself. He flicked switches, cursed, managed to find the one which lit the camera monitoring Corden's cell. The thin, ascetic face, the gray glasses, grayer and thinning hair. The college professor who writes, Graham said to himself. Well, I am going to personally watch as that major, whoever he is, shoots him. On the screen, Corden sat as if asleep, but obviously he was dictating, probably to the 16th Avenue plant. Emanate your pontifications, Graham thought grimly, and waited. A quarter of an hour passed. Nothing happened. Corden continued to emanate. And then, all at once, surprising both Corden and Willis Graham, the cell door slid back. The natty, spick-and-span major entered. Briskly. "Are you Corden, Eric?" the major asked.
"Yes," Corden said, standing.
The major, a young man, really, with pinched, sharply cut features, reached for his weapon. He lifted the gun up and said,
"Under the authorization of the council chairman, I've been instructed to come here to this place and snuff you. Do you wish to read the authorization?"
He dug into his pocket. "No," Corden said. The major fired his gun. Corden fell backward, forced by the beam of destructive power back in a sliding motion that brought him against the far wall of the cell. Then, by degrees, he slid down until he sat like some abandoned doll, its legs apart, its head down, arms lifeless. Speaking into the proper microphone before him, Graham said,
"Thank you, Major. You can leave now. You have nothing else to do. By the way, what is your name?"
"Wade Ellis," the Major said.
"A citation will be made up for you," Graham said and broke the circuit.
Wade Ellis, he thought. It's done. He felt, what, relief? Obviously. God, he thought. How simple it was. You order a soldier, who you've never seen before, whose name you didn't even know,
to go snuff one of the most influential men on Earth, and he does. It created in his brain an appalling imaginary conversation. The interchange would go like this. Person A. Hi, my name is Willis Graham. Person B. My name's Jack Kvechik. Person A. I see you're a major in the Army. Person B. You bet your bird. Person A. Say, Major Kvechik, would you snuff someone for me? I forget his name. Wait, I'll look through this stack of papers. And so forth. The door of the room flew open. Police Director Lloyd Barnes rushed in, red-faced with anger and disbelief. You just now... I know, Graham said. Do you have to tell me? Do you think I don't know? Then it really was your order, as the barracks commander at the prison said. Yep, he said stoically. How does it feel? Look, Graham said. A second message came through from Provoni. It specifically states that he is bringing an un-Terran life form with him. This isn't speculation. This is fact. You just don't feel you can handle Corden and Provoni at the same time, Barnes said with fury. You bet your ass. That's right, Graham said fiercely. He waggled a finger at Barnes. In fact, that's it in a nutshell. So don't give me a hard time about it. It was necessary. Could you, all of you double-dome super-evolved new men, have coped with the two of them here on Earth, working together? The answer is no. The answer, said Barnes, would have been a dignified execution with all the protocols observed. And while we're giving him his last meal and all that, some Iranian fish-like gigantic entity lands in Cleveland and snatches up every unusual and new and goes snuff, right? After a pause, Barnes said, Do you plan to declare a planet-wide emergency? Mayday? Yes, in the most extreme sense. Graham pondered. No. We'll alert the military, the police, and key news and unusuals. They have a right to know what the actual situation is. But nothing to the friggin' rabble. All those old men and undermen. But he thought, the 16th Avenue printing plant will tell them anyway, no matter how quickly we attack it. All they have to do is flash the messages from Provoni to slave transmitters and lesser printing plants, which, hell, they've undoubtedly already done. The commando team, Green A, backed by B and C, are on their way to the 16th Avenue printing plant, Barnes said. I thought you'd like to know. He inspected his wristwatch. In roughly half an hour, they'll assault the first line of defense of the plant. We've arranged closed-circuit TV coverage, so you can watch. Thanks. You mean that ironically? No, Graham said. I mean what I say. I said thanks, and I mean thanks. His voice rose. Does everything have a hidden meaning? Are we a bunch of bomb plotters sneaking about in the dark using code words? Is that it? Or are we a government? Barnes said, We're a legal, functioning government, faced by sedition within and invasion from without. We're taking protective measures in both directions. For example, we can station ships of the line deep in space where they can reach Provoni's ship with their missiles as it re-enters the Sol system. We can... That's the military's decision, not yours. I'll have the ultimate Peace Council of Chiefs assemble in the Red Room. He checked his own watch, and Omega... At 3 this afternoon. He pressed a button on his desk. Yes, sir? I want the chiefs to assemble in the Red Room at 3 this afternoon, Graham said. Class A priority. He turned his attention back to Barnes. We'll round up as many undermen as we can, Barnes said. Fine, Graham said. Do I have permission to bomb their other printing plants, at least the ones that we know of? Fine, Graham said. You still sound sardonic, Barnes said uncertainly. I'm just terribly, terribly pissed off, Graham said. How can a human being instigate a situation in which non-human life forms... Ah, the hell with it. He lapsed into silence. Barnes waited for a time, then reached to turn on one of the TV screens facing Graham. The screen showed weapons police firing miniaturized missiles at a Rexaroid door. Smoke and armed police were everywhere. They're not in yet, Graham said. Rexaroid, that's a tough substance. They just now started. The Rexroid door disintegrated into molten streams that burst into the air in the form of flaming pellets, like Martian skybirds. Clack, clack, clack came the sound of firing by the police and by what now appeared to be uniformed soldiers within. The police, taken by surprise, scurried for cover, then tossed paralysis gas grenades and the like. The smoke tended to obscure everything, but gradually it became apparent that the police were moving ahead.
"Get the bastards," Graham said,
as a two-man bazooka team let go directly at the line of soldiers within. The bazooka shell zoomed past the soldiers and exploded within the great clot of printing machinery within.
"There go the presses," Graham said,
feeling glee.
"Well, that's that."
The police had now infiltrated into the central chamber of the printing plant itself. The TV camera followed them, focusing on a battle in cameo between two green-clad police and three gray-clad soldiers. The noise level dropped. Fewer weapons were being fired, and fewer people could be seen moving. The police were beginning to round up press personnel, meanwhile still trading pistol shots with the few undermanned soldiers alive and armed.